Good morning, church. It's so wonderful that we could gather today and celebrate God as we worship together. A few announcements before we get started. Please don't forget our next Zoom Sunday School. Will be next Sunday at 8:30. Once again, we'll be providing the links in the email for you. So if you'd like to join us for that, we've had a lot of family fun in those, and we'll continue to work through some of the wonderful videos that Carolyn has found for us, and I've really enjoyed this time together. And then the CEC wants to give a big thank you to all who helped with our fall family fun night. It was a lot of safe fun out in the parking lot. The kids made some pumpkins, did a little bowling, and we just had a great time in our costumes, and I want to thank everybody who helped out with that. And hopefully you got a chance to see the pumpkins at Shenbrun Village. I just want to compliment the village on what a well-run fundraiser they had. While we were in our CEC party, the line was already back to the Sunoco for people to go through the pumpkins. So it was wonderful to see so many people supporting Shenbrun Village. We were talking to somebody who drove in from Cleveland to experience that. So, wow, it was great to see. You have until, I have a note from Linda Karcher. Orders for Christmas poinsettias are due by November 11th in memory of a loved one, in honor of someone. The cost is $11, red or white, and you can call Linda with your orders. I'm not going to say her phone number over our online stream, but I'll make sure I put that in our email as well. We try to get those in early this year because flowers are one of those things that are in high demand throughout this COVID process. Also, next Sunday, there's going to be a citywide gathering on November 1st at the parking lot of the Nazarene Church. It's called to light up a prayer for, let me see what the name is. It was a light up our community event. What they're doing is, this was hosted last month, and they're doing it again outside at the Nazarene Church, and this is to pray to end human trafficking, addiction, suicide, mental health, some of the mental health issues that our community has been struggling with. And what they'll be doing is they'll be walking from the Nazarene Church to the courthouse, where you'll be given a candle to light, and then they'll be walking a mile around the city as a walking prayer, that as we pray to end those challenges in our own community. And we always think of those issues as Canton and Akron and Cleveland issues, but those are problems that we need to address in our own community as well. So we will uplift that event in prayer on November 1st. That's all I have for announcements. Let us stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from Leviticus 19, verse 2. Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Amen.
The scripture verses today come from Leviticus 19, verses 1 through and 2, and 15 through 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" "Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." The second scripture verse comes from Matthew 22, verses 34 through 46. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with a question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul and with your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about Christ? Whose son is he?" "The son of David," they replied. He said to them, "How is it then David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemy under your feet.' If David calls him Lord, how could he be his son?" No one would say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions.
Amen. Our liturgy today, we're going to do something a little bit different than we have in these past few months. Instead of a liturgy of reflection, we're actually going to be taking one of our liturgies from the hymnal, and we'll be doing things a little bit differently. So there will be no hymns in this liturgy as we pray together the liturgy of Pentecost. I will be one responder. Letitia will be the respondent on behalf of the congregation. So take this opportunity, because we've had this hymnal since, I believe, 1993 or 1995. So we've prayed these prayers together, if you've been a Moravian since that time, for 25 years. And you get used to the repetition of doing it the same exact way. This time you're going to have an opportunity to really listen to these words and take them to heart and think about how you can apply what you prayed today into your own personal faith walks. Let us now pray together on the Liturgy of Pentecost, beginning on page 96. You can follow along on the screen behind you. You continue to transform believers, healing, reconciling, empowering, lives are turned around. Emptiness is filled. Drifting hearts are given direction.
You vitalize your wavering church, lavishing gifts upon us, forging unity, giving new vision. You turn our eyes from the wistful memories of yesterday to the new things you are doing among us now.
We worship and extol you, our teacher, our guide and comforter. You make Christ known to us and make us your holy temple.
By your presence, the church in all its diversity is welded together in unity.
Interceding Spirit, we do not know how to pray as we ought, but you understand our deepest needs and present them with love to the Father. Lead us now to repentance and confession.
Spirit of holiness, we confess that we are a sinful people. In thought, word, and deed, We quench the fire of your love and dissipate the power of your presence. You long to restore us to the image of God, but we let it tarnish as we nurse selfish attitudes. You nurture unity, but we sow discord. You come to make our bodies your temples, but we desecrate them. We dishonor your good intentions for us. Forgive us, merciful Spirit. Burn away our impurities and forge us into renewed and useful instruments for your service. Amen.
There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and the law of death. We believe God's promise in these last days. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Upon both men and women in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall speak my message.
The Spirit of God dwells in us if we belong to Christ. The Spirit bears witness to our spirit, and we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs to God, and joint heirs with Christ.
When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we receive power, and we become God's witnesses.
The fruit that the Spirit brings to the lives of those who follow Christ is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
The diverse and empowering gifts of the Spirit are given to each one for the common good. None of us is useless to God. None of us is sufficient alone. We serve through the body of Christ, and we depend on the people of Christ.
The Spirit's gifts are given to equip believers for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God.
Come, heavenly dove, and alight upon us. Anoint us to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release, recovery, and freedom to those in need.
Empower us to work for God's kingdom in such a way that life becomes a jubilee for us and for all people.
Lift up to the lonely, the neglected, the outcast. Comfort the grieving. Restore the lost. Be the advocate of the afflicted.
Teach all your people, remind us of Jesus, and lead us into the truth.
Keep us on the edge of dynamic living, wrapped in the flames of new beginnings, and filled with power for personal renewal.
Form us in the likeness of Christ, that we may glorify God's name.
Renew your church. Fill stagnant and empty lives with the breath of God. Overcome our apathy, and energize us with your engaging presence.
Give your church new vision, new hope, and a driving desire to claim the promise of a new birth.
Spirit of power, work in all who confess the risen Christ to spread your message of hope, love, and salvation to every person and nation.
Hasten the day when every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. This is our prayer. Thanks be to God. We now turn our attention to our prayer concerns. We will do it as we have always done, where I will share the prayer concerns that I can publicly share with you. We will have more on our slides as well. If you have any personal prayer concerns that you would like to uplift at this time, please take an opportunity to write them on your whiteboard and make sure you share them with Delene and I after the worship service if we aren't able to see your prayer concern on your whiteboard, or just to remind us to make sure we keep it on our prayer chain. For those of you who are watching us online, we will have some music that you can listen to at this time, but we encourage you to check out your own prayer chain that we sent out earlier this week as well. In our prayer concerns, we offer sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Paul Peterman. He passed away this past week. He is Sharon Belknap's uncle, and we continue to lift Sharon's family in prayers. They have definitely had their share of adversity these past few weeks, and we just continue to surround you with love and support at this time. And the other is just continued prayers in our battle against COVID-19. As our county went up a level this week, and then it sounds like we went back down this morning, but just continue to pray for our country and our nation, which continues to see a rise of cases right now, and just continue to look for the reminders that God is at work in our world. Despite how long this process has taken, we remember that God's time is not always our time, but God always finds a way to provide and care for his people. And we remember this in all time. We remember kids who are being quarantined in schools, teachers and staff who are making difficult decisions, and for all people, for the safety of our world. At this time, let us take some time in silence to reflect on what God is doing for the people of our world.
The Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Who I am, but because of what you've done, because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, faithful in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when
Does anybody have any prayer concerns to share at this time? We'll definitely lift that in prayer. Let's take some time in silence and invite God into this prayer time. Gracious God, we come before you on this beautiful fall day. As we have seen the seasons change, it reminds us that you, God, are active and present in our own lives. And as the seasons bring new life, you too bring new life and new gifts to our world. Gracious God, help us to remember that on days where you feel cold and distant from us, especially as we deal with the growing number of cases in our country, deal with people who have been battling afflictions for a long time, deal with those who are grieving and have heavy hearts right now. But gracious God, remind us that it is not pain that gets the last word, but it is your gift of resurrection hope that defines each and every one of us. And we have so much to celebrate in our lives and in our world. We remember the personal connection that was for our congregation this week as we celebrated the life of Joseph Northrup, a friend to so many of us. And we are so grateful that he was able to receive a personal invitation into your kingdom. And help each one of us remember that invitation is extended to each and every one of us who welcome Christ into our hearts. So we pray for a world that struggles. We pray for a world that hurts one another. We pray for a world that desperately needs your love. And help us to be the commissioned agents of your world, to help light up your world in small and significant ways. Because whether this world is a better place or a worse place, it is dependent on our next acts of compassion. So let our acts of compassion continue to make the lives and world around us better as we remember to love our neighbors as ourselves and to love our God with all our heart with all our minds and with all our souls. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. As we turn our minds and our hearts to our offering today, once again we give thanks that we have the opportunity to give back to God today. And we remember that the gifts we give are just not financial, but they are spiritual, they are emotional, and they are physical gifts that we can give to God every single day. And for our offertory, we will have some special music shared with one of our own, Jean Ann Baker, who is nice enough to sing a wonderful old hymn from our Brown hymnal, His Sheep Am I. And I really encourage you to listen to the lyrics of this hymn, because this is, in a lot of churches, this is the 20th Sunday of Pentecost or Reformation Sunday, as we celebrate Martin Luther and all the reform that he brought to the church. And this hymn really speaks to the Christian simplicity that people like John Huss and Martin Luther fought to bring to our world. And we remember that when it comes down to it, we are all sheep of Jesus.
Let us pray. Loving God, help us to give generously with the greatest commandment in mind. May we as disciples look to be defined by our generosity and caring, and not our titles and rules. Amen.
We're now going to turn our attention to our children's chat today. Come down for that so I get an opportunity to see and interact with y'all. So what we're going to talk about today is how when God created the earth, he started with this simple truth: to love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And as time went on, things started to get more and more complicated as humans took control of this earth. So I want to give you an example of how that can happen. So we're going to start with, I'm going to ask you to do something very simple. If you do not know how to tie your shoes, just have one of the adults next to you help you. So what I'm going to ask you to do is do something very basic for me. I want you to untie and retie your right shoe for me. Jacob's already got everybody beat. He's got a nice little smile. All right, everybody got that? Give me a thumbs up if you're able to tie your shoes. Wonderful. We're going to complicate it a little. All right, your next step is I want you to untie your shoes. Things get a little bit more complicated. Now I want you to double knot them. Not that hard, but it shouldn't be too hard for you. That's okay. Not a problem. Take your time. Looking good. Nick's got a big loop there. I see it. Wonderful. Got it. Do I got a thumbs up from everybody? Got it done? If not, that's okay. You're pretty close. All right, we're going to get a little harder. Rules get more complicated. Tie your shoes. I want your parent or guardian next to you to count. I want you to tie your shoe in exactly 7 seconds. If you tie it in 6 or you tie it in 8, you got to redo it. So I want you to mentally count. Tie your shoe in exactly 7 seconds. Did you get it? 8.2, that's pretty good. Did anybody get exactly 7? All right, here's your next one. You're going to have to stand up for this one. I want you to tie your shoe with your back leg. I want you to tie your right shoe with your left leg in the air and see if you can do that. I'll try that. Hold me. Oh. I guess I shouldn't give a task that I can't actually do myself. Oh, goodness. I thought that 3 weeks of yoga was going to pay off, sweetie, but it's not. Oh. That's pretty creative, man. Pretty good. All right, the last one I'm not going to make you do. I was going to actually have you do that, tie your shoes exactly while you were saying your ABCs and try to end exactly on the letter U. Now, I'm not going to make you do that, but if you want to try after worship and you're able to do that, I might have a prize involved for you. Because that's pretty complicated. So what I gave you was an example of what happened with people who were the Jewish people, the followers of God. They started out with a simple truth. Like their equivalent of tying their shoes was loving God and loving their neighbor. And as 1,000 years progressed, they started to get fixated on all the trying to do it with their leg in the air. And you know what happened? They stopped thinking about the basic truth. So just the simple fact that you got to tie your shoes some days, they would lose sight of that fundamental truth, the loving God and loving neighbor, and they would get lost on all the procedures that had to happen after that. And so Jesus came, and he was like a good teacher, and he focused on just getting people back to the basic truth. Love God and love your neighbor. Don't worry about trying to tie your shoe in a fancy knot or doing it with your leg in the air or doing exactly 7 seconds. Just get back to the basics. And so that's what we celebrate today, especially on Reformation Sunday, that Jesus implanted some simple truths into our heart, and it's our job to follow those truths. Let's have a moment of prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you bless these children and remind them as they tie their shoes today to remember that your presence in their lives is just as simple and basic as that, that you are watching over them with every loop, with every pull, and with every change in their heart. And let them know that at each station they are at, you, God, are loving them and caring them. And each of us should be reminded of that. Because the love that you provide us is that basic truth. And it is as simple as just some days tying our shoes, is knowing that God loves us and cares for us. We are lucky to know that. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So for our message today, I actually want the adults to pull out your whiteboards. And I want to play a little guessing game with you, because I mentioned all the rules and the laws that existed in the Bible, and I was hinting to the book of Leviticus, the third oldest book in the Bible. And I did a little research this week to see how many rules and laws existed in Leviticus. So I want you to take a guess about how many holiness codes are in the book of Leviticus. I'll give you a hint. It's more than 10. Way more. So take out your whiteboard. We'll see if anybody's got a good guess. Give you another 10 seconds. All right, everybody put your boards up. Let me see them. All right, if you've got less than 50, put your board down. Your answer is incorrect. If you've got less than 100, put your board down. Your answer is not correct. If you've got less than 250, put your board down. That is incorrect. If you have less than 500, put your board down. That is incorrect. It's actually, and we actually have two people who went over, so we'll go price, we won't judge you by Price is Right style, but you're pretty close. 615 holiness rules exist in the book of Leviticus. 615. These rules were based on the fact that they could tell you what you can eat, how you should prepare your food, what your clothes should be made of. According to the book of Leviticus, if you touch something made out of a pig skin, you should be put to death. So every Sunday, the Green Bay Packers and Cleveland Browns risk their lives by playing professional football, according to the book of Leviticus. Rules about what you can and can't do in your bedroom. It became a religion for those who love to have every single minute of their life scripted and orchestrated and planned. Judaism at the time Jesus arose was, if you are a type A personality that loved to have your life detailed down to every single second, that was the religion for you. Now, if you're a more carefree person, like to relax a little bit, this religion might have been a little bit more challenging for you. Because from the moment you got up in the morning to the moment you fell asleep, you were expected to follow the religious codes of the day. And yet, here comes this guy, Jesus, with a much more simpler and holistic approach to approaching God and religion. And in one sentence, he takes 615 regulations and he simplifies them into two essential ones. Teacher, whose commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second like it is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and prophets. Love your God and love your neighbor. Everything else is beneath that. And for Moravians on Reformation Sunday, this should be one of our key texts that we focus people on. When people ask you what it means to be a Moravian, this should be one of those biblical texts that you point to people and say it's about getting down to the simple truths that God provides us. Because much of our simple and humble Protestant identity can be found in this text. And if you don't learn a lot from me in my time here, one thing I do hope you get down is that there are six essentials that the Moravians teach. Three things that God does for us, three things we do in respond to that. And the three things God does for us, he sanctifies, he lays down his life for us, he makes things holy, he creates, and God redeems. He sacrificed himself for each and every one of us. And we, in turn, as human beings, as disciples of Christ, we respond with the big three: faith, love, and hope. God does three things for us. We respond with those three things. And underneath the essentials, we have what are called the ministerials. And the ministerials point us to what is essential. They are the compasses that point us to what is important about God. There are things like the Bible, Holy Communion, baptism, worship, prayer, and others. They are the compasses that point us to what is holy, but they are not holy by themselves. It's what we get out of them, what we spiritually feel from them, that makes it important. In other words, we do not worship the ministerials, we worship what the ministerials lead us to, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. That is who we worship. Now the incidentals, you have the essentials, you have the ministerials, and then beneath all that are the incidentals. And the incidentals are what would be your 21st century holiness codes. They are the stylistic choices of the day. It's how many hymns we sing in worship, what we wear to worship. I probably couldn't get away with some cut-off jeans and a tank top today. You'd probably have a few issues with that. How many times we partake of Holy Communion throughout the year. Moravians have shifted drastically on this in the last 500 years. There are things that are important to us, but they have nothing to do directly with our salvation. And I think it's important we're humble, because it's easy to mock the people, the Jewish people of the first century for all the laws and rules and regulations that they followed. But our holiness codes, our stylistic choices we make today, they still play a very big role in our lives. And I would even wager that twice as many relationships between pastors and congregation or members and churches have soured in the last 20 years, not because of the essentials, fighting over that, but maybe perhaps because of the length of the sermon, the style of worship, was it traditional or contemporary, the music that was picked, how many times the pastor mentioned the Green Bay Packers in the sermon, maybe, things like that. The arguments, it was all stuff that we fought over instead of the important stuff, the arguments over the essentials. But we have to remember, it is human nature that we turn the smallest incidental into the biggest essential. That's just kind of how we do things. Ever since Cain and Abel fought over how worthy their gift was to God, even though they should have just been focused on giving to God. And that's what the devil wants us to believe. When we have a strong, wonderful relationship in our lives, we look for the most tiniest thing to break it up, to end that relationship. I know relatives who had 30 to 40 years of strong friendship, and they could not even tell you what they fought about 30 years ago, but all they know is they're still not talking to this day. That is why it is so important that we have to remember what is important, what is essential, what is the ministerial, and what is an incidental. And that's not just for our spiritual lives, but I think that's healthy for our regular lives as well. Because we need to listen to Jesus when he tells us to get back to the basics. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two building blocks we must build our faith upon. These are easy words to listen to, but much harder words to apply to our day-to-day lives. But we must remember that holiness and love have a symbiotic relationship in Scripture. As Letitia read for us in Leviticus 19, verses 1 to 2, speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And remember, we are all holy. If COVID-19 has taught us anything, it is that holiness comes from human interaction. We can talk to one another via call or text. We can FaceTime. We can Zoom on the computer. We can update our social media accounts. Yet none of those things compare to being able to hug a grandchild, shake hands with a loved one, or worship side by side with our friends, or even if it's 6 feet apart as we currently are. One of my favorite writers, C.S. Lewis, said, I yearn to be part of a church Well, the holiest objects you see beside the blessed sacraments themselves are the people sitting next to you. I yearn to be a part of a church where the holiest objects you see are the people sitting next to you. Imagine if a church makes that their mantra, their mission, to make everyone around them feel like they are holy and created in the image of God. And I'll tell you the truth. I will gladly sacrifice singing, liturgy, and my favorite pew. Because I can tell you, as someone who preached to an empty sanctuary of stuffed animals for 3 months this spring, the holiness of this sanctuary does not come from the cross, the pews, the way we set up, we stack the Bibles in the back, but it comes from having a family of worshiping believers together in community, worshiping and praising God. Brothers and sisters, when you look around, you should see the community of the cross, because you are it. You are what makes this building a holy and special place. The faith that you bring in your heart every single day is what makes this the holy ground you stand upon. So therefore, when it comes to loving God and your neighbor, look for ways you can grow and expand your love in the direction of both God and your neighbor. Look for ways you can do that in both directions. Because too often we see those essentials that we're asked to provide, faith, hope, and love, and we see them as all or nothing, pass-fail tests. And that's really not the case. Because we should see our ability to grow and love as human beings, as disciples, as Christ, as if it fits on a continuum, that we can continue to grow and continue to learn. And continue to be better at loving our God, at loving those around us. So when it comes to looking at our lives and our world, let us focus less on the incidentals and more on the essentials. God sanctifies, God creates, God redeems. And we do our part by responding with faith, hope, and love. So let us love the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our minds, and all our soul. And let us love our neighbors as ourselves. These are the simple truths that we are called to follow, obey, and ultimately carry out in our discipleship to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and we just want to say thank you for coming down to this earth and getting us back to the basics. Because we as humanity were lost. We were focused on so many incidental things in our lives, about the way we were eating our food, the clothes we were wearing. And we forgot about loving our neighbor and loving our God. And we realized that in this technological 21st century world, it's easy to lose sight of those basic truths. It's so easy to be distracted by what is around us. But help us to take a deep breath and remember, when it feels like we have 700 different laws and regulations to follow, to get down to those basic two, to love God and to love our neighbor. And we are so grateful to have such a wonderful and inspirational teacher. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, we will listen to the hymn, "Take My Life That It May Be." May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. For those of you joining us online, we thank you for joining us for worship. And this concludes our time of worship today. For those in person, this will now be the opportunity for us to dismiss. But once again, thank you for being a part of our worship today. At this time, Sharon and Martha, you may go. Swallows, go ahead. Casters, go ahead. Martins, go ahead. Tim and Linda, go ahead. Jacob, Becky, and McKenna, go ahead. Boyd and Galeen, go ahead. Doug, go ahead. Millie and Randy, go ahead.